New Year!
May all your acquaintance be forgot, and all the most humble.
All the words to that song that I know are from Mr. Bean. And he doesn't even sing.
I could probably spend an entire episode talking about Mr. Bean. I think Mr. Bean is lovely. Many people do.
Challenge accepted. Wait, you know people that aren't into Mr. Bean?
Yeah, there are people who don't like Mr. Bean. I mean, I get it. It's not everyone's, you know, nearly silent slapstick British comedy is not everyone's cup of tea. So
how's that a thing though? Because the man's brilliant. It's great. I've never sat down to watch Mr. Bean and been like, I didn't appreciate that hour.
No, I mean, I remember I only got into Mr. Bean when I was in high school or something, and he was just on PBS or whatever, and I was just channel surfing, and I was just sucked in, so I thought it was so stupid and funny.
And can we talk about Mr. Bean, the holiday movie?
I was about to bring that up, because it's far superior to the awful other movie just called Bean that was the classic Hollywood ruining of everything.
Le Mans, Capital C, Le Mans, and he's got like... They do the big road trip, and he's got the kids singing. Like, the ending video montage of that?
Yes.
Genius. The movie where they had him talking ruined everything.
Yeah, it was like Tom and Jerry the movie. You don't have him talk, people. It's just not what you do. Mr. Bean's Holiday did not get great reviews, but, man, when I saw that in theaters, I'm usually more reserved in my laughter, like I'm amused, but I was like, just dying in the theater, just, like, laughing my head off uncontrollably watching that entire film. It was odd. It was cathartic, even. It was great. Everyone...
You saw it in theaters?
Yeah, I went with my dad. It was great.
me and the pops.
Yeah, me and the old pops hung out.
Dude, how was Christmas? Sorry I missed you last week, man. Thanks for covering for me. That was very nice of you.
Oh, it was fine. I mean, we'd been toying with what we did last week anyway, with Christmas being what it was.
I listened to last week's show, and man, that was a long time ago. That was a long time ago, but that was fun to go back. I haven't listened to that since we aired it.
We were babies. We didn't know anything then. This show was 6 months old back then.
It was funny to listen to our transitions where it's like, well, we're leaving the traditional format of the show. We're not going to make it in 30 minutes this week. We're going 45. And now we're like, screw it. We're at an hour and a half. I hope you guys like it.
So, we're back from the holidays now. We're back in D.C. And it's I'm fighting a head cold, but I'm going to power through for all of you today. And
keep your head down, power through.
Christmas was delightful. We had a good time visiting frigid California. Very cold. Very, very cold there. So rough. And
it is 8 degrees where I am right now. And,
I know.
And Jeff is moaning about 50 degrees.
I'm not moaning. It was just funny because when it drops to like 55 in California, everyone's just like, oh my gosh, it is freezing here. But it actually did get legitimately. They have a legitimate Arctic front there now. So there's some serious cold going on now.
Oh, is it legitimate? What does the Arctic front look like?
Well, what it is like snow on the ground in 1,000 feet, which is pretty low for California. When the snow level drops to 1,000 feet, that's a cold winter storm.
I'm shuddering. Can you see me shuddering?
I can.
I'm
so shuddering. We had a delightful time. Very nice to see family. I would say friends and
anything
family.
Anything good for Christmas? Really was Christmas great?
Yeah, I mean, it was nice. Trying to think of anything, I mean, in particular. It was just a good Christmas. There wasn't anything crazy about it.
I had a really, like, this was the first year in a long time where I decided I was going to try and give good gifts. And so, like, I was working on this since February. Hunting, strategizing, finding things. I had a couple of good ones that I've been sitting on since, like, June, July-ish. You know, I have my tradition of the large foam swords or some sort of foamed weaponry that I give to my parents at Christmas now,
right?
Because I've
yes.
dug myself into this awkward hole where that's all I give them now. Well, I found 6-foot Final Fantasy swords, the big, like these monster swords that came in two pieces and had to be assembled. I was very proud of my presents this year, and turned into, like, it was one of those where I was giddy the entire time because I couldn't wait to give my next present. And I haven't had that. I've been a taker for a long time, not a thoughtful giver. And so this was a nice change for me. I've enjoyed
it. Okay.
Thank you for supporting me in this.
I'm glad you did it.
It was my first, you know, everybody always talks about it's more fun giving than receiving. First, we know that's obviously a lie, but it was nice to give.
It was delightful. I'm glad. I admit, though, I was a little sad that, Voldemort's wand wasn't waiting for me when I got back this year, but I was okay. I was looking at sending you something, but here's the thing. When you're not in Utah, I've sent you cards before to like the business address there in Missouri. That's where you told me to send stuff. And nothing ever gets to you. So now I hold off.
I get it. I just refuse to acknowledge a card with like $4 in it.
I would never give you $4.
You sent me a card well, it was very nice of you, but like I think it was my birthday. I got like a Visa gift card for like $10 or something. I was like, don't send me money. I just want it. I want like a funny leaf from that one place you visited or something.
I believe I sent you a heartfelt card with sentiments of love and joy.
But there was money in it, and then I feel awkward because I gotta figure out how to spend that $20 on a gift card.
Yeah,
it's not part of my normal spending routine. I don't know where to spend that.
Just McDonald's.
You can send it to the shop. I get it.
Nope. I don't even know where you live anymore. You're all over the place now with where you're actually going to be residing. I don't.
Yeah, that's fair. I actually don't know where I live either.
I don't have a domicile to give you.
I was planning on being in D.C. At this very moment.
We are supposed to be eating Five Guys together right now.
Still in Missouri. Why would we eat Five Guys? We have Five Guys everywhere in America.
Fine, we'll go. You make fun of good stuff when we go there, even though it's delightful.
Doesn't Floyd? No, Shaquille O'Neal owns like 25 Guys restaurants. I like that. I like that Shaquille O'Neal's big in Five Guys. I feel like that's right.
That's good for Shaq.
Yeah, You know what? I'm by any place that gives me a paper bag of French fries. I'm in. Let's go.
Yeah. Well, that's okay. Did you have a good Christmas, though? Loved ones, family, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, Christmas was great, man. We had a lot of fun. Busy holiday season for us at the old business, and so it was nice to get that done with. And then the family surprised everybody. They were mom and dad and my sisters and everybody, all the kids, went on a cruise for New Year's and left me here.
That's very sad for you. Now, where did they go? Where did they cruise?
Let me paint you the picture of what...
Did they leave from Galveston? Where do you guys...
Yeah, they drove to Texas. but let me paint you a picture of what Hamilton, Missouri looks like on New Year's Eve when you don't have family.
And you're the only person
in town. I walked out to our blinking red stoplight, four-way stop, stood in the middle and just shouted, New Year's! Woo!
Well, you could have come out here and hung out with me.
Yeah, Jeff, I didn't realize I was going to be left alone here, and I had to hold down the fort.
Your life is really sad. What a sad life.
You don't know how hard it is.
Now, is there cruises going down to Mexico or something? Or tell me it's even better, and it's a cruise of the beautiful Gulf Coast of the United States. I hope it does nothing but stop.
No, they went to I'm not sure where they're going. They went to Key West, and then like they got like one other port.
And then, Cozumel.
It's a 7-day cruise. And to be fair, they offered it to me as they were leaving. They said, "You can come." And I said, "Yes, I appreciate that. The only problem with a cruise with your mother and father is that you'd be on a cruise with your mother and father for seven days."
Yeah, it's understandable.
You know, I mean, if anything's going to salt your flavor at those discotheques while you're trying to pick up on chicks, it's having mom and dad there rooting for you. Pulling for you. Come on, son. Dance your heart out, young man.
Show your moves. Shake your moneymaker.
Do that one with the booty. With the booty,
hey,
son.
Hey, hey, hey. Play that one by George Michael.
Be like, Ma.
Play that.
Ma, lay off. I'm working on it.
You're like, Jenny, this is not the wholesome brand that we perpetuate. Come on. What would the quilters say? I would like to see. Al, that's your next step at the quilt shop. You guys need to do a quilting cruise.
Oh, it's already in the works, Jeff.
Buy out blocks of things, and you will all...
I believe it'll be March it happens, which I'm just like, really, people, we know our demographic, and they know us. We all want to get together in bathing suits.
It's going to be the most exciting cruise of all time.
I don't know that's how we
When you walk out to the Lido deck and see a number of women just with their pins and their things, crocheting and quilting, and just sitting in their... in their simple clothing. Not
it
even
wouldn't
bathing
be far off when we went on our cruise that was on the Celebrity Cruise Line, which is the more seniors-friendly cruise line.
Celebrity kind of sucks. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I feel like we were the Magician's Alliance and like represented our karaoke selves very well because it was an older demographic. If it would have been like a Royal Caribbean or something, those young people wouldn't have accepted.
They wouldn't
us
have cared.
The way
we were the amusing did. The amusing careless whippersnappers running around the boat entertaining everyone.
That's pretty fair. Dude, that we need to do it again.
It's been 5 years. It was 5 years ago that we did that. It's
once you get divorced, that's where I'm going to take you.
How
I'm taking you on a divorce cruise.
How dare you? How dare
I'm
you?
Just saying, if it doesn't work out, Jeff, you got cruises with single guys and
old
women
waiting
for you.
I will see your inappropriate comment about singledom and raise you a, hey, Al, if you ever get married, we'll go on a cruise together to celebrate.
Okay, all right. I like that.
So now we've described two cruises that are never going to happen.
Oh, boy. All right. Too far.
By the way, speaking of 5 years, since we're starting the new year, it's 2015. Now, folks, we are entering our sixth year of doing this. We got 5 years under our belt, which is pretty wild.
Jeez.
In my opinion. And
we started January 1st. I remember that.
Well, we actually started it at the end of January in 2010, but for all intents and purposes, I just rounded down to January at the beginning of the year.
Round to the nearest January. That's what I do, too.
Yeah. So, folks, just thanks for hanging with us. We had a great year in 2014, and we hope 2015 will be even better. For your information, so that you know how amazing TWIM has been this year, we have seen the percentage of listeners increase. Al, do I share this number with our people, this percentage?
Give it to them.
89.4%. More of you are listening.
It's you guys.
Than in 2013. So
because of you, I never walked too far from the sidewalk.
So that is we've always had pretty good growth every year for TWIM, but that is excellent. We very much thank all of you, especially our newer listeners in the past year. Likewise, Sunday School Bonanza, 87% growth in 2014.
I thought that's what the other one had.
So
are they both 87% growth?
It's 89 and 87. Third Hour of Power, of course, is only a year old, but it has also done quite well in its first year. So thanks for hanging with us, folks. We're glad to see you enjoying it.
We can't pump this stuff out fast enough.
We can't.
Whatever we'll say, you'll listen to. That's what we're getting at.
Maybe. So let's do a whole episode talking about the virtues of nachos. I like them. I find
the end. Anyway, all right. So we got some Mormon stuff we can do. Do we have any, Jeff? Do we have any resolutions for this year? Are there, like, if you had to predict are there any major changes we'll see in church policy this year?
There's nothing I love more than speculating on Revelation because I know.
Well, I mean, obviously, what do we have? We have the temple marriage thing that we've been speculating on for some
time.
That's true.
Or we might have ruined that one based on the article weeks later about does the church actually back off from stuff because of...
It said Jesus only likes it if it's a surprise, Jeffrey.
Basically, that's kind of what it's saying. No, I don't know. The temple marriage thing might happen. I mean, we'll see. I mean, the sources were pretty good on that, but we'll see if it holds up or not. So,
do they bring anything change with polygamy? Are we bringing it back?
I'm going to say no.
And... this is a road that just gets more offensive. Oh, never mind.
Go ahead, Al. That's the
no,
that's
no.
The story
you see what
of
I
your
did
life.
There. See what I did there. This is my resolution. I'm going to catch myself before I say some of these offensive things. Not all. I mean, my people still will get what they want. I will say the offensive things, but not as much. Maybe
we could do a poll and find out like which host people prefer. That would probably be demoralizing for me. So maybe I won't do that.
Yeah, I'm famous in all circles. Here's a question: Will we put missionaries in Cuba this year? We're softening sanctions and things. Like the ties are getting better. Will missionaries go to Cuba?
I'm not. I don't think we'll have missionaries in Cuba in 2015.
Why not? We have missionaries in Venezuela. We have missionaries in Argentina.
Have we brought back American missionaries into Venezuela? No.
Well, let's have Cuban missionaries in Cuba.
Oh, maybe we could do that, potentially. But we don't have a lot of church in Cuba. That's a thing. I'm sure we have some kind of a presence there, but, you know, we don't have much going on. I think that's a little ways off, the whole normalization.
Have we ever not gone into a country because they don't have good ties with the U.S.?
Potentially, yeah. The church is careful about this stuff, and it's easy to, since we're in the States, most of our listeners are in the States, it's easy to get wrapped up and conflate U.S. cultural and political things with church things and forget that church policy is global. And the church has to play a game with every country around the world, trying to sort of play nice and get in there and make sense of stuff. Like, you know, we talked a couple weeks ago about, you know, why doesn't the church decry torture? I think it would be nice. It would. But for all we know, this is just conjecture, but for all we know behind the scenes, the church is trying to maintain positive relations with countries that do engage in questionable human rights behavior. But we feel like we're better off with our foot in the door than slamming them.
No, no.
I wouldn't. Come on. Think about it. How messed up is Russia now? Do you see us just straight up decrying Russia and Russian nonsense with everything they've done?
No, but I feel confident that like any nation is going to expect a religion to decry torture.
Sure. Fair enough.
I mean, like, hold on. I thought you guys were Catholic, not anti-torture. It's like, well, we are sort of for Jesus.
Yeah. Anyway,
I don't think anybody's going to be shocked at that.
But back to the Cuba thing. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it'll be a little while, especially because the embargo is separate. That has to go through Congress. That can't be done through executive action.
Well, but like, why? I mean, if the church did send missionaries in there, maybe not U.S. missionaries, but they sent Panama missionaries in there.
Panamania. You think that Pandemonium missionaries. Yes.
You think that the U.S. would be like, hold on, you have people from other countries that there are no restrictions on travel going to these countries where there's not a problem. How dare you? You think that's a real concern?
It's not just restrictions on travel, though, Al. You got to think bigger than that. It's restrictions on residency. It's
teaching
restrictions
people
on,
about Jesus.
It's restrictions on proselytization in a communist country. It's stuff like that. That's where it gets dicier. It's not just being able to go there or not. So, but I think things might ease up. I mean, we'll see. But I'm trying to think, because I don't believe we have missionaries in Vietnam still. That's communist. We don't have missionaries in China, even though we have members unofficially.
This is all because of Ezra Taft Benson, right?
Yeah, no one wants to read his manual this year. They're all just like, no.
He's just like, listen, I'm against communism.
No!
Surprise!
They're all going to laugh at you. So no. I think I wouldn't be surprised to see it happen, but this whole thaw is the long game. So maybe not 2015, but we could see it happen in the next couple of years, potentially. And you're right, maybe not American ones, because that's related to American policy.
Now what's going on with the U.S. embargo stuff? Is it like that's softening, not going away completely, right?
Well, no, the embargo is separate. So the executive action stuff is related to what the presidency can do. But the trade embargo on Cuba is a congressional act, and all the president can do is urge Congress to revisit it and rescind it or amend it. But that's still in place. So even Americans, don't go thinking you can just up and travel to Cuba right now and do business in Cuba. It takes a while for stuff like this to sort itself out. Either way, though,
days,
it's
weeks.
The big thing we're doing is under the State Department, and that we're reopening an embassy in Cuba and having formal diplomatic relations, which we haven't had for 50 years. That's
well, good.
So as far as missionaries, keep your eyes peeled. We'll see what happens. And speaking of missionaries, everyone, I would like to tell you about new missions that will be created in 2015. And so assuming no missions are discontinued this year, that'll bring up the global tally of missions to 417, which is pretty remarkable. And this is from ldschurchgrowth.blogspot.com. Great little website run over there by Matt Guy. Forget his last name. But they partner with Kimora.com. I want to say Matt Cain, but that's a baseball player, right?
So Matt Guy.
Anyway, there are going to be 11 new missions to be organized this coming July. July is when there's always mission turnover of presidents or new missions created. So Argentina, Buenos Aires East, Argentina, Santa Fe. That's a big... then Barbados Bridgetown, so Barbados will have its own mission.
We got Barbados.
California Modesto. We just had some friends move to Modesto, and I bet they are so excited to be out of Fresno's grasp. Congratulations, everyone.
Finally, that mission.
It just says Costa Rica, second mission. Maybe it hasn't been named.
They're splitting it in two.
Yeah, but there's no. But usually they would call that, you know, San Jose North or South, something like that. Then Peru, Trujillo North. Portugal is getting a second mission again. At one time, Portugal had three missions. When I served in Spain, there was Lisbon, North and South, and Porto had its own mission. Then it's all been consolidated. If to venture a guess, they'll probably make Porto its own mission once more, I would assume. The other great ones here, guys, Utah Logan and Utah Orem.
Those weren't their own missions before?
No, no. Oh. Provo's been its own mission. But
there's
a
Provo,
a
and now there's an Orem. I can't even tell when I've gone to the wrong Applebee's down there. How are missionaries going to figure out where they're
supposed
to be?
That's what I'm saying, right? I mean, what are the missionaries going to know? They might just drift into Provo on accident. They might go up to the Riverwoods in the Orem
mission.
We've
all been there. We didn't mean it.
You never left mission boundaries. You and I served in big old countries. Don't lie to yourself.
That's true. That's fair.
I actually want to see missions and stakes in Utah. Let's see.
Then where do you have Washington, Yakima? And then Wisconsin, Appleton. Where is Wisconsin's doing? Huh? I didn't.
I looked that one up. My one of my counselors in my presidency served his mission in Milwaukee, which is the only mission in Wisconsin. So I texted him and said, "Hey, I see this new mission in Wisconsin's going up," and he was like, "What?" He was blown away. So we checked it out. Appleton is sort of south of Green Bay, so I'm kind of surprised it's not the Green Bay mission, but I don't know what the distribution of membership is.
Well, Green Bay is such a small market anyway. That's a small town. Why would you call it Green Bay outside of the Packers?
I think Green Bay is bigger than Appleton. I've never heard of Appleton. Have you heard of Appleton?
No, but I wouldn't have heard of Green Bay if the Packers didn't play there. Green Bay is, what, 40,000 people?
Yeah, it's easy. No, it's 100,000, but it is by far the smallest market in the NFL by a landslide.
Appleton, so Wisconsin population, 75,000.
There you go. It's going to be
Green Bay is 25,000 bigger, and Appleton's bigger than Oshkosh, so we got that going for us.
Yeah. So the Utah Provo mission ought to be interesting because I believe most of southern Utah is split between the St. George mission and the Provo mission. So
it just won't be
interesting. So the Orem mission might just be the northern half of Utah County, and that's it. What a fun place to serve. If you get your call there, be excited.
Neat. It's going to be real neat.
Yeah. So I'm excited for that. New missions are always. It's pretty amazing, though, dude. If you had gone back 2.5 years, we had like 100 fewer missions in the church. So it's.
Yeah. No. I mean, we're doing really good, guys.
And having a mission in Portugal means another new mission in Europe, which hasn't happened for a while. Which I like.
Okay. I got a little thought piece here for us.
Okay.
We had a listener send this in. It's an article entitled Making God in Our Own Image to Cast Aside His Prophets. I don't necessarily love this article, but I like some of the sentiment in it because I feel like it's something that you and I have been guilty of. And I think there's an element of it that is okay and some that's not. Essentially, what it's saying is that oftentimes if we disagree with what a prophet does. Right. So like my experience with this has been sort of the blacks and the priests. This is how I rationalize or understand blacks and the priests. And having not been there, having not been a part of any of those conversations or any of that, I say, well, maybe Brigham Young made a mistake. Right. Maybe God didn't want him to do that. And Brigham Young just screwed up and he didn't lead the church astray. Right, like the larger arc of the direction of his profiting was sound, and he took the church in the right direction. But he wasn't perfect everywhere, and sort of what we talked about with Russell around, like, you know, paint the man warts and all, but don't let the wart become the man, sort of thing. Like that's where I'm coming from. Like, oh yeah, maybe that's the thing. So this article says, I mean, essentially just says that we need to be careful that we don't say God wants what we want now, you know, 100 years later. We understand God, and then we just look back and say, oh well, his prophets just didn't understand God the way that we do. They didn't get him. And so we essentially were able to cast aside his prophets by casting God in exactly our image, which there's a big tendency to do because the popular God nowadays is markedly different than the God that was 150 years ago or that even was 25 years ago, so far as religion goes, right? Like we're trying to make him much more amicable and gentle and soft, which traditionally, you know, he's had some hard lines that he's
been. And I get what you're saying, yeah, because I see this piece as sort of a response to one over at Rational Faiths. Well, yeah, with this idea that if God does something we don't like, Like, I mean, here's this article here puts a formula in, you know, that X is just too unpalatable in some way, whatever that may be. X can be the priesthood ban, polygamy, whatever you want to be, gay marriage. Therefore, God cannot be involved in X because that seems weird and messed up. Therefore, it must be the fault of the prophet so-and-so or so-and-so. And yeah, I think that is a slippery slope. I mean, even if this article itself that talks about it, you know, is flawed, it presents a good notion because sometimes God does tell us things that we don't want to hear necessarily. I mean, go ahead.
Well, so here's my rub with it though is I think that there is an element or a space for criticizing, well, maybe not criticizing, but like listening or with critical thinking to revelations of the prophets. I think there's space to not necessarily say, well, prophet said it. It's got to be doctrine, got to be real, got to be true. I think that there's a spot there for us to be like, no, we don't necessarily agree with that. You know, we'll like, I'm fine. I'll stay within the broad lines of the church. I'll stay in here. Maybe it's a long game and I'm patiently waiting. But I don't have to necessarily agree with everything that happens, particularly if it strikes me as sort of uncharacteristic for the religion. Do we, or is that, I mean, or is there danger in that?
Sorry, do we what? What's your exact question?
Are we able? Is there wiggle room for us to not agree with everything? Like, let's say Thomas S. Monson, right? We can agree with most of what he says. Let's say he gets up in conference and says, I had a revelation, this needs to happen. And we go, whoa, I'm not sure that that's something I'm comfortable with.
Okay.
Where is the room there for, like, is there a place there for us to not necessarily agree with everything that the prophet does without dissenting?
Well, I think dissent is very interesting. I think dissent is actively like rallying maybe against a cause. So it's one thing to have a personal disagreement with something, and it's even another thing to have a smaller.
Well, let's say personal disagreement then.
Well, that is a tough area, right? It's one thing. I think there's nothing wrong with offhand having a disagreement with something that comes our way, because we could easily say,
can we support a leader and not agree with everything they do?
Of course, that's different
in the church.
Yes, there's a key problem we have in the church is everyone thinking that agreeing with everything is synonymous with sustaining, and that's not. We can sustain someone without necessarily just at our gut impulse agreeing with everything they do. The key is trying to work to come to terms with stuff. I mean, like, your bishop might give you counsel that you don't like, but you can still sustain that bishop, and you might want to try to work to understand why the bishop is giving you said counsel. And that goes all the way up to the top. Like, I don't always know why we receive the things that we receive. But it is one thing if I were to just straight up say, no, I'm not cool with this, I don't like it, and just decide that that's that. And just say, I don't like this because I don't like this and I feel that it's wrong. That still comes back to me as the individual. And while it's hard, and I would never say that anyone's quandaries are unjustified, a big part of mortality is sort of overcoming our own weaknesses. And I think it's a great opportunity when we question those things that might come our way to study stuff out and pray about it. And I know that's not a sort of a by-the-book answer. And I know plenty of people have received counsel and tried to pray and come to terms and still felt uneasy about things, and that's a tough situation to be in because there aren't easy answers in that sense. But, you know, we are always going to receive stuff that we don't necessarily agree with offhand. I do think it's a question of what we choose to do with that. If we choose to just say, like, I know better, I don't agree with that, or if we strive to come to understand it.
Which is the problem that I have with this article, right? Because I think we can take a note from, like, how the leadership in this church works. I mean, there's a quorum of 12, and there's a first presidency of 3, and we have plenty of experiences that have been shared with us where those guys do not agree with each other 100% of the time.
Yeah, and Elder Nelson talked about that in this most recent conference very openly. He's like, do you really think all 15 of us just agree on stuff all the time? Of course not.
And the fact that they are able to have a unified voice where they come, you know, even if it's not unanimous, and they can still say, all right, you know what? Like, I disagree with you, but you know, we can follow along and we'll figure it out as we go. I Like, if we could take a page from that book as members of the church and still, you know, be comfortable disagreeing, be comfortable sort of even being able to voice like a respectful disagreement where maybe you don't necessarily feel that this is accurate, but still, like, not. But I mean, it's still our job to sort of live within the bounds that are set with that, right? Which, yeah. this article, there's really no room for any. You know, it's saying if you don't agree, then you're casting God in your image and, you know, trying to make him say what you want to say and discounting all the prophets. I think that there's room. I think there's room for both of those.
No, I think this article is a little too black and white. And likewise, the other side of the coin can be just as problematic when we really are saying, like, I can't believe in this if it's X, Y, and Z. You know, that's just wrong.
But the church, I think the church gets better as a social organization on top of the gospel principles and an actual restored gospel. But like as a social organization, it gets better when there's room for the saints to be critical thinkers, and we expect that of each other, right? And I bet if I'm a leader, I would appreciate some smart people giving me some good pushback and saying, have we thought about this? Yeah. What if we tried this thing?
And I can't tell you how many times I have had my own thoughts on something after even thinking I have studied it out and I know my stuff, but then I'm presented with a point of view that I just never thought of. And that's a great thing, whether it's inside or outside the church, whatever that may be. I think it's a great principle there that as we study things out and open ourselves up to discussion, we come, you having fun dancing there, buddy? We come to understand, things a lot better, and we grow. I mean, there's plenty of times there's just stuff I just don't think of, despite my own attempts at research and looking at things. So it's great because we can do these things, and it's still supporting the prophet. It's still sustaining our leaders. It's just us trying to come to terms with stuff. And you know, that's the whole point of
discipleship. Let's be better about that in 2015. Let's be better about having real dialogue and things of that nature.
Yeah. I mean, guys, the whole point of discipleship is that we study things out and receive our own witness of things. It's so easy to want Salt Lake to hold our hand and tell us every decision that we should make and everything that we should
do. Quit that.
And that's not the way it works. We're given principles to work with, and we're given tools, but we need to figure things out on our own and come and receive a testimony of things that are true. So I'm with you, Al. There's a resolution, everybody.
But I like that topic. I feel like that's a good one to stew on. You, dear people, send us your thoughts.
And you can do that at contact@thisweekinmormons.com. Yeah.
Or Jeff, JEFF at thisweekinmormons.com.
Yeah. If you send an email there, I won't get it. I spell my name with a G.
I get it.
Like the European, my European fathers. I'm a European American. So that everyone should know.
All right. Did you know the BYU is going to buy the White Mountain?
Yeah, this is weird. I don't fully understand any of this.
Jeff, this needs to happen. You know what? When I look at Provo and I say, you know what would make this town a lot better? If that mountain, that great geological specimen, that great feature of this city was owned by a school that could exploit it for its natural resources and take dumb field trips.
Well, I don't understand what they're going to do with it because it's not even the whole mountain, right? It's just to buy the land around
the Y. They want the Y. They want the hiking trail up there.
Is even the whole hiking trail, or is it just? And they've even said just the Y, not even the B and the U, just the Y. Of course, there is just a Y. Now that I'm thinking about it,
how
the B and the U were in the original plans, and they didn't put them in. So, I don't fully understand this whole thing, though. It's confusing to me.
I hope they're sensitive to the community's objections, if there are any. And community, I suspect you should object. Do not let universities own mountains.
Well, basically, it gives them the full trail because they own the 40 acres of the trail that lead up to the Y. So this will give them the whole thing. And by the way, this is, of course, this is a rider on a bill all about some sort of defense budget nonsense. And somehow this got thrown in there.
It's that pork barrel budgeting, Jeff. That's what Senator John McCain's all against. He's a maverick.
Attached to $585 billion for the military in 2015 is some sort of something that says universities can buy mountain insignia on hills.
That definitely feels made up. Some sort of something.
Most
I don't believe.
Well,
that.
I would venture to say 30% of legislation in the United States is made up.
That's fair.
Another thing that's come out this week, the over at Feminist Mormon Housewives, we posted this on Facebook. Loved all your feedback on it. So Chico Okazaki, she was a member of the General Relief Society presidency.
Did you just call her Chico?
Her name's Chico.
Jeff, be respectful. Sister Okazaki.
Sure. Chico is a great lady. She was in the General Relief Society presidency in the 90s, I want to say, late 90s. And just a beloved woman by many. She had a great sass about her, so everyone loved her. You know, she was a sassy dame. And she published books. You can find stuff on her. Plenty of stuff's out there that she's written. Great lady. Feminist Mormon Housewives now is going to be publishing a short excerpt every Sunday from the writings and or speeches of Sister Okazaki. So it's modeled, of course, after the teachings on the Presidents of the Church manual. And the idea is to share perspectives on these leaders. They're pushing this as a companion bit. Note that it's also every week, not just two Sundays a month. You know, at first glance, of you know, the thing that we asked about this is like, is this fine? Is this cool? Is this leaning a bit more on the whole curriculum end of things that God ordained women into trouble? Like that sort of stuff? Or is it just nice supplementary material?
Like it's like LDS Gems. It's like when we did our study week.
Yeah. Well, the only thing that makes me wonder about it is, of course, because it's just, you know, a non-church entity very explicitly trying to produce material based on a female leader, which I have nothing, there's nothing wrong with that in any way. I just wonder if it's going to ruffle some feathers at some point or not.
It shouldn't. It's not, they're not trying to change or push an agenda. They're just trying to give.
No, they're not. They're just studying.
Yeah.
They're just saying, hey,
yeah, I can't
study.
Imagine there being anything.
I believe if they were saying, hey, you should all read this instead of using the manual for the President Benson, that was what that would tip the scales.
Yeah, that means they're for communism.
Well, everything is a front to communism.
Absolutely.
By the way, as a little bit of a about President Benson, one thing's interesting is we've talked a lot about, you know, we talked with Russell quite a bit, you know, about his interesting history when he was in the 12, but when he became the prophet, the president of the church, very, very different. So despite anything we've mentioned on here before, I like to see how the mantle of the prophet changes a man. And, you know, it could be age, could be time, lots of things, but prophet President Benson in the 80s was a far different individual than Elder Benson from the 50s and 60s. And the world changed a lot between then.
Which I suspect we would see a similar thing if Elder Packer, say, became a prophet.
Yeah. So, well, he is a prophet, just not the prophet.
Bear that in mind. El Profeto, I'm sorry,
anyway,
Jeff.
Anyway, I might check out this Chico Okazaki stuff just to see what they publish.
Sister Okazaki, we don't call sisters Chicos.
Another thing I thought of just real quick. Remember the Book of Mormon 365 Instagram account that started last
year?
Yeah. So they just got like bought out by LDS Living is going to be managing that feed now. So I don't know what that means.
Scandal. Scandal at the highest ranks.
I don't know if it means they'll just keep publishing the Book of Mormon, if they'll change it to New Testament 365, or if you're going to be stuck with ads for Mr. Mac on your Instagram feed. I have no idea, but that went
for
down.
For shame. Let's see. Some other good stuff coming up. TLC has a new series coming out called My Husband Is Not Gay.
Are you sure?
And it follows three LDS couples. Two of them are married and in straight marriages. They're married to women and they're into other men, and kind of some interesting conjecture around that. And then there's the third that's dating women and just like, I'm guessing on the third date, he just cuts loose with also I'm gay. I want to marry you so that you can have my babies, but also I'm gay. Good work, reality TV show, for digging up the next genre of weird TV.
I hope it airs right after Sister Wives, so we get a great block.
On the one hand, like this is kind of the. I mean, am I right to think that this is like how the brethren think that men should handle homosexual feelings of just like. Yeah, you can have them. That's totally cool, but you still need a wife and a family.
I think that's kind of towing the line. Yeah, I mean that's sort of what we publish, what we put out there.
And so, like knowing that, it's sort of it's sort of a little bit painful to watch around that actually being implemented, knowing that that's sort of the ideal situation, because that's a hard situation. So anyway, that's out there. You'll see that being chatted around the water cooler.
I don't have cable, Al, so maybe you can watch it for me. Tell me what happens.
Yeah, we'll be the one pirater of that show.
Well, the Pirate Bay is down, but I look forward to it. You put a torrent somewhere, I will find it.
I'll leak it. You know I'll do it for you.
You
Jeff.
Seed that thing, and I will leech it.
Perfect.
It's gonna be delightful. So this could be interesting. I just worry it'll be typical TLC exploitative stuff.
Well, obviously it will, but the subject matter is what's interesting there.
Yeah.
Right.
Because you've got
it's not going to be classily handled.
No, because the downside to that is you've got guys like Josh Weed who have presented a very, very interesting situation to us all, but in a sincere way, and I think that's been a pretty positive and affirming thing watching the Weed sort of navigate this guy who says, "Yeah, I'm gay and I love my wife and I wouldn't change a thing." It's very interesting, and I don't think we'll get that from this, but, you know, it might be a great nightcap to Keeping Up with the Kardashians, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Who doesn't love it? Did I put the story here, Fred Hofalls? Oh, boy. Let's see here. Allegedly, new restoration videos might be coming our way. Bear in mind, this comes from the Reddit feed of the ex-Mormon folks, where all sorts of exciting stuff is published. However, it's from an individual who used to work, or says he or she used to work, in the studios in Provo, and they were involved in the temple films, in the Meet the Mormons, a lot of stuff. But offhand, they also mentioned that they were making films based on the restoration of the Aaronic and Melchizedek priesthoods and the translation of the Book of Mormon. We mentioned this because apparently they might actually publish a video that shows the correct historical account of the translation of the Book of Mormon, meaning Joseph Smith, seer stones, hats, etc., not Joseph Smith sitting at a table reading golden plates and dictating.
No, I object to that a little bit because there were four different methods of translation used in translating the Book of Mormon. So we're not incorrect in portraying a one and not portraying the other, right? Like there's nothing being hidden by not showing, you know, different ways of interacting with the Urim and Thummim. I don't feel like
potentially, but I think that the old way we used to portray things sort of fell in line with how we've been as a church, wanting to be accepted and palatable to the general population. So we eat.
Well, sure, but it actually happened. I mean, they're like, it's not like that did not happen. You see what I'm saying, Jeff?
I see what you're saying. Either way, I think it'll be cool if they make a movie that embraces some of the fuller history then.
Now let's get down to why we're all really here. Mid 2016.
Well, that's
we're
all I live
in
for.
2015. We have 1 year. He has months to decide. Do we, Jeff? Does the Mormon bump go to Jeb Bush? I don't think so. Or does it go to Mitt Romney?
Well, I believe the Mormon bump will have to go to Willard once more, Al.
Do you think he's going to run? You think it's going to happen? I think it will.
I don't know. It'd just be so weird if he ran again.
I think if he ran again, does he have, well, because assuming the Democrats put up maybe a Hillary Clinton or something of that nature, we see Mitt faring well against her?
No. But what it would be interesting. This comes from Spencer Zwick, who raised a bunch of money for Romney's campaign. By the way, Spencer Zwick is actually Elder W. Craig Zwick of the 70s son. So can he be trusted? Who knows? Elder Zwick was the one who accidentally used church email accounts for Prop 8 stuff. It was a faux pas, but he did it. So does that filter down through the Zwick blood? Who's to say? Who knows? Who knows if this comes from a responsible source? But he says, knowing the Romneys, that Mitt is aware of the field, and if he's not satisfied with the candidates that throw their hats in the ring, he might jump in again to save the party.
Well, I'm excited to see what happens. Very interested in seeing where this goes.
It sounds terrible.
Well, Jeff, we would both give up a good chunk of time to go and campaign for Mitt Romney.
If you got Hillary, you got a Clinton again. If Jeb Bush,
if he ran
it,
again, Jeff, could I count on you to go with me and we would campaign for him in Iowa?
No,
you wouldn't do that just to go give it a shot. Just go be there.
I'm so jaded about American politics that it's you have to find a very special candidate for me to be jazzed enough that I would want to give of my time.
I don't care about being jazzed. I care about participating in the process, Jeff.
Yeah, but participating in the process is voting. I'm not going to go out
the pre-made signs at a rally that they and then being placed if you're pretty enough in the right spot.
Yeah, that's fine, but that all that is endorsing a candidate. I would never go pushing or stumping for anyone if they were not someone I firmly believed in and intended to vote for.
Well, that's fair. Ralph Nader will be on vacation in Puerto Rico. We can go there.
Nah, man. We're going to go wherever Elizabeth Warren is. It's going to be great.
Okay.
What a blast we'll have with old Lizzie.
Hey, so you remember in Vegas we had those two robbers that were dressed up as Mormon missionaries knocking on doors and then busting in?
This does come to mind, yes.
They were sentenced this last week.
To?
Just a little follow-up. I know you guys don't expect follow-up from us, but we give it to you off and on. And they got 7 years to life in prison, which just goes to show, do not put that name tag on and think that you can just run around and teach people about Jesus.
Was that one of the charges? Because you know, like if you impersonate a police officer or a judge or somebody like that,
that's
a charge. I believe that impersonating a Mormon missionary should be
a federal offense. At the very least. Yeah. If not a world federation.
Perhaps something that should come up in the next UN General Assembly.
We'll have the speaker from South Korea.
Then we can finally stop having people dress up like missionaries at Halloween parties. The church should trademark missionary look, just like they've trademarked the word Mormon and stuff or weird things like that. And then if people dress up as missionaries for Halloween, they can sue them and say no.
What's the council in Star Wars, the Grand Council of Jedi Masters, that's where we need to ban this.
Yeah, but they wouldn't even let Anakin be a master, even though they admitted him to the council. So I don't know. It's hard to say
either way.
Other quick stuff here. Guys, Meet the Mormons, everyone's favorite documentary that you weren't required to see, but were highly encouraged to do so. remember, it's not a requirement, but you should really go. Meet the Mormons is now going to be showing in visitor centers.
Why couldn't they have made Interstellar instead of Meet the Mormons?
Well, that'd have been awesome. I would much rather watch Interstellar in the Legacy Theater, that big old screen. Oh, that'd be wonderful.
Oh my gosh, they got to get the rights. They got to do it.
Now, I like the way the church newsroom talks about it here because they call it a documentary style movie. Designed to dispel common misconceptions people have about Mormons. That's a great way to describe it, newsroom, because it was designed to dispel common misconceptions people have about Mormons, but I don't feel like it really did anything to address the misconceptions people have about Mormons. I mean, like, really. Was it a movie about us not drinking coffee or Coke and having multiple wives?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah,
it was a movie about how a Polynesian guy successfully coaches the Navy football team. So unless there was a misconception that Mormons could not coach football.
No, Jeff. He was a Polynesian guy that coached the Navy football team that was not crazy.
Oh, so it was that people thought that Polynesian guys who coached the Navy football team were crazy.
Right.
And what this did is it told us they were not crazy.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Oh,
okay. Let's see.
In that case, it did its job. So look out for it in visitor centers, folks. It's coming your way.
We got a couple of other things we want to talk about.
Now you don't have to pay for it.
As we close up here, Idaho Falls and Freiburg, Germany, temples are going down for massive remodels.
Big ones. I don't know what they're going to involve either. They haven't said that, but these are...
They will be shut down for an undisclosed period of time.
No, they've said how long. It's about a year and a half each, pushing 2 years.
I wasn't going to disclose that. Thanks for ruining that.
Ha, ha, ha. Yeah. I don't know what this will entail. The Freiburg Temple went down in 2002, where they put a whole annex on it and added an angel Moroni. So I don't know what they'll be doing to that one at this point, but maybe the church has grown.
But the Freiburg Temple used to service all of Ukraine, all of Armenia, all these areas that are now, the Kyiv Ukraine Temple, for one. And that's servicing a lot of that.
Yeah, well, maybe Eastern Europe, though, has grown a lot more, and even though now they have people going to the Kyiv Temple, maybe they need more capacity in Freiburg to handle all the people. Because if you live in, I don't know where the line is for the Kyiv Temple, but I'm guessing if you live in Poland, you know, if you're in the Czech Republic, Slovakia, Hungary, Austria, all that's Freiburg, so maybe they need more capacity. Idaho Falls, I have no idea. I don't know what they're going
to
do there.
But
Rexburg is up the street by half an hour away, so they can tough it out. They'll be okay.
Who is to say?
Likewise, there's a new Gallup poll out about religion in general. The main takeaway here is that Mormons, we are the best about frequent attendance of religious services, everyone. About a 75%.
We're good at going every Sunday.
Yeah, 75% of those of Mormons polled go every week. 75%.
That's better activity rates than the church has, so good for them.
Yeah, which is interesting because if they, it doesn't even make any sense, actually. They all believe they should go every week, and yet they don't.
Then we also have a nice little list, the top 10 Welcome Home missionary videos. Most of them we've made fun of on this show, so you're welcome to go check that out. And give
this
it
is
a
more than a nice little list. This is everything that's wrong with us.
Everything. Yeah, that's been going around, too, a little bit lately. We talked about a couple weeks ago. Are they getting too big? Are the Welcome Homes too much? Yes.
They're not even supposed to do them. It was years ago, President Hinckley... First, it was stopping to do the real farewells, as they called them. But then the church published a thing and said, guys, stop going to Salt Lake Airport and bombarding the baggage claim with homecoming
stuff.
Guys. They said that. We as a people do not listen, and then we wonder why we continue to receive counsel we don't want.
Why? Anyway, well, that's a solid show for us this week. That's everything we've got to give you. We're coming back off of, we got sickness, ailments, all these things, but we showed up for you. Thanks for you showing up for us. I'm excited to have you as part of our new
You're dragging
year,
this out as much as I often do.
Look at you.
Good job. What? Are you doing your impression of me dragging out the ending of the show?
Yeah. Is that what this is? I like it. And then go ahead and email us, everybody. Contact at This Week in Mormons or visit us at thisweekinmormons.com. We'd love to hear from you. Leave us a comment. Say hello.
And we love it when you hang out with us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn. Go to LinkedIn. Follow us there.
Go to LinkedIn. Yeah, go and list us as an employer or be a mentor on LinkedIn.
Yeah. So
good work.
Anyway, that's all. Happy New Year, everybody. Make some resolutions. Maybe keep them. But, be reasonable.
Do everything you want to do. All right.
Do it to me one more
Happy
time.
New Year, Jeff. See you, buddy.
Bye. Folks, have a good one. Talk to you later. Another episode of TWIM is in the can.
Hey, everybody on the floor. Namaskaram. Vandanam. Put your hands together for the Happy New Year. Se New Year, swasa ke chiruai, asare pe New Year, prema to nindina, goppa utsavam New Year, munduke sagutu.